Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of our Red Spotlight Entertainment Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Reaction Commentary Series, the show that is made for the longtime S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows and one of the very best shows ever made. Let's just not even pretend at this point, okay? We've been pretending for, you know, several seasons, but I think it's been made abundantly clear that TV has gone to shit. It is not going to go back to the way that it was. Corporate powers that be and brain dead idiots that consume these shows have no idea what they want. Oh, I didn't want 8 episodes after bitching about 22 episode seasons for like 10 to 15 years. Sorry about that. I had to just get on my soapbox right there real quick because I'm really agitated, really at life in general. So that may be coming out a little bit tonight. And it's not directed at any one person. If anyone happens to be watching, it's about them. No, I literally everything right now in my life is bugging the hell out of me. And I'm not complaining about my life, but I'm not also not going to complain when things bug me personally. Because it's literally like happening left and right all over the place. Anywhere I look, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this could be better. And it's not. So, that's just, I needed to get that out of my system so I can enjoy properly what we're going to watch tonight, which is going to be the 6th episode of season 4. This is The Good Samaritan. We're already here, which, I mean, in a way, I mean, this is a long season, but as we've said, it's really 3 seasons combined into one, and we're already basically at the end of this first little season that we have, this first Ghost Rider pod. And this is the one that was teased. I remember in the trailers leading up to this episode, this is the one. This is where you're going to see the origin, which is what a lot of people love to see when it comes to these comic book things. This is obviously, I shouldn't say obviously. Let me just go ahead and reiterate again. This is The Good Samaritan, written by Jeffrey Bell, directed by Billy Gearhart, originally aired on November 1st, 2016, probably the last episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. before the Dark Times, before the Empire. If you remember, if you know what I'm talking about, I hope you should know what I'm talking about, because this is the last episode of the show to air before, if you know, you know, especially your dates right there. This features our returning main cast, Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Chloe Bennett, Ian DeCastaker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Henry Simmons, joined alongside Jose Zuniga as Eli Morrow, Gabriel Luna, Robbie Reyes, Ghost Rider. I don't know why it was in that order. Interesting whoever edited this page. Anyway, also Lily Birdsell as Lucy Bauer, Kerr Smith as Joseph Bauer, Lorenzo James Henry as Gabe Reyes, Dan Donahue as Frederick, Ward Roberts as Hugo, Usman Ali as Vincent, and Jason O'Mara as Jeffrey Mace. The episode is part of the first pod, obviously Ghost Rider. And this included the surprise appearance of the Marvel character Johnny Blaze as the titular Good Samaritan. Originally broadcast, as I mentioned, November the 1st, 2016, watched by 4.57 million viewers. Ahead of the episode, Luna also hinted at the continued conflict between Phil Coulson and the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jeffrey Mace, saying that Coulson has been doing what he wants, doing his own thing, taking the Quinjet out for a spin wherever he needs to go. By the way, can we just stop? There's pretty funny how much of this season and how much of this pod has passed. And only just now is Mace like, wait, what? Like, we've got episode after episode. And that's not even considering the lies that Simmons herself is covering up on her end with the whole Radcliffe and Ada side of things. It's just like, Jeffrey Mace is a good guy. But I don't believe he had any idea how much his own team was hiding from him. Because it is kind of funny how this is the episode where it kind of comes to a head. And he only even knows because of Alan Nadir. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that happens. This is an interesting episode for a lot of reasons. Obviously this is the big moment. that people have been waiting for. So yeah, and I will say, if memory serves correct, you know, yeah, a lot of people, like, their big takeaway was like, oh my god, is that Johnny Blaze? He's in the MCU, amazing. And I'm like, okay, cool. And again, I know a lot of the times I make fun of people like that, even though, like, especially when we get into, like, Star Wars territory, I'm like, dude, yeah, like, Glub Shadow the movie. I'm sorry, Mandalorian and Grogu out in theaters, I'm sure, in a few days or a few weeks from now. I think it's coming out this week or next week.
I don't know. I'm not keeping track of
that. Who cares?
I just, if I see it on the AMC app, you know, it's like, oh, it's on. Oh, actually, yeah, this weekend. I remembered I was actually looking up what was going to come out. So
let's see whatever that does. But, like, my overall point in bringing that up is, you saw with our Maul reactions, whenever there was some lightsaber shit, we're like, you know, all in it. So
we get excited, but, like, we give our reasoning as to, like, why that sort of build up moment is getting us excited. You know, it isn't just because, oh, it's the thing I know. It's like, no, you know, that moment with the lightsabers where, like, all three of them, you know, blocked the Inquisitor's lightsabers too. Like, that shot, it really is just badass. I love a badass shot. I'll get excited for it and all that. But we were complimenting the fight that was going on in that moment. We said it was, like, the best one out of all the ones that came before and all that. So I think it was a good moment for us to be excited about that. And then with that character that shows up in the end, we weren't super excited about it. We were just kind of like, oh, okay, what's going to happen here? You know, that was kind of our reaction.
I think the main difference is, like, those individual moments, we can appreciate them as moments, but those individual moments do not make up the sum of the whole show, right?
For sure.
Which, by the way, this is just a tangent. I don't know what's going on my Twitter feed, but I'm getting a lot of, like, clips of The Legend of Korra, and I'm like, should I do a rewatch? Because I'm like, this is an amazing show.
I know.
Like,
right?
I was clips of season 3 and season 4, and I'm like, I'm ready for more Avatar. I don't know about you. I'm ready for that. It kind of gets me a little bit excited for this movie that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I will not see. It's pretty insane and peak 2026, just like culture, that there are people who are already selling Blu-rays of the leaked fucking movie. I mean, what? Again, tangent after tangent. And I just, but want to be clear about all of this is that the whole point I even brought it up with Star Wars is that, look, we can appreciate those moments, but that in and of itself is not going to make up our whole opinion of something like a lot of people do and did at that time. And quite frankly, I do feel, and I subscribe to this belief that a lot of the people who were only watching S.H.I.E.L.D. for Ghost Rider, and that was it, right? And they didn't really care to engage with any of the other stuff, but those people were not clear with what they were here for, right? Like, they were, we've seen a lot of these reactions in season 4 from these then critics, and I'm like, you can tell you don't really watch the show, you don't really like the show, you're not really engaging with the material, you're just here for the costume freak, which is kind of like the whole point of a lot of people. It's like, if you get the costume right, if you get the character right, they can overlook so much of what is not great. And I feel the reverse kind of happened with S.H.I.E.L.D. because, you know, I mean, yeah, great, Johnny Blaze moment. I think what really stands out in this episode is Robbie.
And, oh, yeah, for sure.
Luna's performance. That's what sticks out to me, which is like, oh, hey, acting. That's I think, a far more substantial thing to worry about. Anyway, we're going to get into all that and more today. Before we go on any further, do we have anything from last week?
All right. Here it is. Okay. From Silva. Hello, my fellow agents. Hope this finds you well as always. Another fantastic episode and a few things to highlight. I love Simmons in this, and she keeps growing in her development. Absolutely. Senator Nadir. I don't have many complaints about this season, but she is my first. I was never fond of her character, and it leads to one of my least favorite arcs of the series. We'll get into that when it happens. Mac with his lecturing of Robbie, his high horse, it's one of his character traits that clashes with me personally. I like him, respect him, but he gets really annoying to me from here to the end of season 5.
Can we pause right there real quick?
Yeah.
With Alan, Okay, Silva, I'm gonna go ahead and like play good cop backup with you. With good cop, I'm gonna say yes. I think I know what you mean about the whole wasted arc there with Ellen, and then ultimately with Vijay. Mm-hmm. I see where that's gonna go. I don't know if you mean personally about like Ellen Nadir's character. I think for the most part, her point is to be a loathsome, vile creature, like a lot of people are today on the planet. Mm-hmm. So apparently very realistic performance. Who knew that was just ahead of her time, that people would be that way today, you know, murdering their own brother because they're racist or whatever. But if you mean with Vijay, yeah, I think we can all agree that that's perhaps one of the glaring things that the show never got around to. And that's fair. I have said in the past that I am sympathetic, and I do not want to downplay too much the idea that, you know, Mac is overly preachy, because I think that is part of his character. I do think that is part of who he is, and I do acknowledge that does rub people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. David, at the moment, do you happen to recall the particular thing that Mac said to Robbie last episode?
I mean, he's just very much judgy about him killing criminals and all that. It's mainly just that.
Sure, but that ain't just a Mac thing. I'm sure a lot of other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents have said very, like, openly to Phil, it's like, dude, this guy's a fucking murderer. It's like, are you sure you want to do this? It's like, no, yeah. I think it's a Mac thing only, right? Like, I mean, we're going to get into it in this episode for sure.
Yeah, I think Mac is the only one that's brought it up. I don't think... Coulson
not May,
has
not May?
I don't think May, think May has talked I don't think May has talked about him specifically. I'm sure she's made comments about the whole flaming head thing and all that. It's like there's a guy who can, you know, turn on fire or something like that. And then what is
didn't she join the Quinjet lat in the beginning of last episode and like question everyone, why is he here?
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think she did question. For sure.
That would imply some hostility.
For sure.
You know? And with May, she's hostile mm-hmm. toward everybody. So.
Yeah. And then,
I mean, you can take that how you will.
Coulson trusts him, and he knows that they do need him because of the ghosts. So I don't think he's been too judgy about his how he does it.
There's one thing that's not made clear, because at the end of this arc, Coulson kind of lets something slip. He has apparently either seen, heard of, or met a ghostwriter in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he speaks to Daisy after the whole thing has been settled with, Coulson kind of lets it slip a little bit, like, maybe he'll come back for his car. And Daisy's like, how do you know? Well, the first ghostwriter did. And she's like, wait, what? And then we cut away, and then that's never addressed ever again. So I am operating, again, I don't know if it's ever been outwardly confirmed. Maybe it is Donnie Blaze. Maybe Coulson has met him. Maybe he knows of him. But very much so, they do make it out that he has encountered the spirit of vengeance in one form or the other, I think, before. Mm-hmm. And maybe he has a little bit of a recollection and familiarity with how this thing does work with a code. So maybe that's what he's trusting, on top of the fact that, you know, he's Coulson. He can see trustworthiness in most people, but especially in young people like Robbie. And I'm sure at this particular moment, with the absence of Daisy, it endears him more to Robbie, because that's just the role that Coulson naturally plays. But with what Mac was saying, I mean, he wasn't wrong technically. I mean, Robbie had no control over himself. And because of what Robbie did, they got themselves into being blackmailed by a right-wing senator. That's not great.
Yeah.
So, I also do, in Silva's defense, I think it also is about tone. And sometimes maybe the message isn't so much the problem so much as it is the tone. And if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong for feeling that way. I just, it is something I want to keep track of, because I have noticed people say this throughout the run of the show. And I do feel around this time, And in the last few seasons, people had more and more of an issue with it. So
yeah.
I just want us to keep an eye on this and see how we feel personally as it continues to develop.
Yeah, for sure. Because I was never really annoyed of Mac, and like how, you know, it basically led to him becoming the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. And it never really much bothered me how he treated the others. I definitely noticed in the last episode, like he is the most judgmental of the Ghost Rider. Out of everyone, because yeah. like I said too, in that moment where Mac was talking to Daisy, he was just like, "Oh, so this is what you do now? You team up with murderers?" And he's like, "He only kills bad guys." Oh, it's like that makes it okay. And then Fitz never said anything,
which is consistent, throughout. By the way, with what Mac has been about. And it kind of continues off of last season. Remember the Watchdogs episode with the whole debate with Daisy and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said too, Fitz, he didn't really bring that up at all. In every conversation, like he only ever talks about the flaming head thing and all that.
Right.
But with Mac, actually, when thinking about it, I think it's fine for him to be like super judgy of the Ghost Rider in this moment because, yeah, it's like dude goes off killing people. I think he has a right to be judgmental about that. But also,
they literally put him in the worst place too. I mean, like that prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And, it's like putting James. To work at a fireworks shop. It's like,
yeah.
Gee, I wonder what could go wrong here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But I also like to think of it as just with Max specifically, I think maybe it takes like a lot more time for him to kind of get an opinion about someone. Because I remember how when we first met him, any little bit of information that he gets about Coulson, he's like very weary about it. And that was...
Yeah. You know,
obviously because he had to be spying on him. He wanted to make sure, like, is this a guy that we can trust? And so, you know, right away, he really is trying to, like, he's really judging him with a high standard and all that. And so any little thing, he's being, like, super judgy about it or he's kind of, like, scared about it. And so I think the same thing is happening here, especially with him hanging out with Daisy, someone who he very much cares about. It's like, are you gonna, like, is this guy cool? Like, what's going on here? And then, you know, the first information he gets is that this is a freaking murderer. So right away, he's being very judgy about it, not just because of his actions, but because this is someone who is spending time with someone he cares about. I can't remember how he feels about him towards the end, but we'll see if he, like, maybe gets around or not. I can't remember exactly.
There is something major that happens that I think that would make... Mac, if you remember, pretty understandable with what happens with Robbie in his head with that.
Yeah,
with
that I remember demon. That moment.
So I think we do get to a point where the shoe's on the other foot now, and that's perhaps why we're seeing that moment of tension, which I will say, I think it's perfectly fine for people to feel differently about moments of conflict and moments of tension. But can we just say how this show never forgot to be a TV show and never forgot to have any suspense or drama? Because, you know, I don't know what happened, but I want to say around the time of 2018 and going forward, there were a number of different properties that just forgot to do interesting drama, intrigue, tension. Yeah. I think for me personally, why I fell off of Doctor Who so hard was because whoever and the people who are making that show, again, it's for me, I don't know why people would, I don't know why they would want to have this agenda. Doctor Who didn't go broke because it went woke.
Yeah.
Which is stupid because it always was woke personally. But like, I think Doctor Who for me fell off so hard because the series or the creators were not writing scenes of tension. They were not writing scenes of any genuine drama between the main characters. I think you get a really good story when you have, in theory, characters who should be getting along. When they clash, that brings out some of the best moments, which is why personally I have very positive feelings towards season 5 of this show. Whereas I would assume a number of people feel like they hate it with fire.
Yeah.
Season 5, because that whole season, at least the second half of the season, that shit went to, I mean, it fell apart very, very quickly. So that's an interesting element here I wanted to add is this is something you also are not seeing as much anymore. And if you are, I don't think you're seeing it being done as well as it is here, mm-hmm. is my point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead with Silva's comment.
And to comment on your discussion of Robbie killing the gang member in his cell, remember the spirit of vengeance wouldn't kill anybody who didn't deserve it. Even if he was innocent of the crime against the Reyes, he was guilty of other acts of evil.
Which, you know what? That's fair.
No, yeah.
That's fair. Okay.
The judgment wasn't really about like, oh, killing him because he was innocent. It was like, no, you shouldn't have killed him because you probably would have gotten a lot more information. Like, that's the whole reason why you don't, you don't jump the gun on certain situations, at least for like the superheroes and all that. I remember
my thing is like, he was obviously a criminal and obviously did bad shit, but like, if he was a model citizen, if that was true, and he was like, actually like growing as a person, growing out of who he was, that's where I draw the line. And I'm like, if there's a person who's like coming back from where they were and growing beyond their limited worldview, I believe in second chances.
Mm-hmm.
The writer doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main line of disagreement.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, was he a great guy? Clearly not.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't want to like die on this hill of defending that guy, but also I do feel like his punishment was being in prison. That's why he was there, right? You know, so that
mm-hmm.
yeah.
No, like I said, like he shouldn't have killed him because he probably could have gotten a lot more information. That's always like a good strategy to go off of. Obviously, you don't want to kill someone because it's just morally wrong, but either way, that does happen sometimes with certain superheroes. I remember one scene. It was one of those Justice League animated movies where Batman was chasing these bad guys and then Green Lantern just comes in, stops them. And Batman's just like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, what? I stopped the bad guys. Yes. Bad guys who put bombs all over the city. Do you know where it's at? No. Do you know where their headquarters is at? No. Okay. Don't freaking catch them. Like, because like he has a strategy in place. So that's always kind of what you have to think twice before even it, like going after a villain. And so that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I feel maybe I have a little bit of a double standard now that I'm thinking about it, because over the weekend I saw this clip trending on Twitter about like a montage of Star Wars Imperials getting murdered, and I laughed. It is so, I mean, especially with Maul, they found some really interesting ways of like killing stormtroopers. Like some of them were quite brutal, like getting, you know, dropped, getting, I mean, Maul, Jesus Christ. And then one of those Knight Brothers just like body slammed them into freaking lava. I mean, it's funny when that happened. I mean, anyway, we could talk forever about Andor. Let's not get lost in that. I miss that show so much.
I
wish it didn't end. Okay. Did Silva have anything else?
May was awesome as always, and her scene with Daisy is well done by both actors. He also put, it just hit me, was the first scene with May and Daisy since May was knocked out by Guerra. As she was trying to heart to heart with Daisy at the end of season 3.
Yes.
This is like 7 to 8 months later and adds so much to the scene, which I didn't think about that.
I did not think about that at all, but that adds a lot more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. They had not had a chance to interact, even speak, but this is in a way being able to finish that conversation before she got knocked out like Sprite did in The Eternals by Guerra. Just like she was, I still laugh so hard at that moment because May was just like, okay, here's where I'm going to have my heart to heart. And then,
boop.
And then I mean, that stuff always kills me. But that is a really good point. Thank you so much. You see, this is why we appreciate people like you that add in this this commentary, because I completely missed it. Even I completely missed it. And I do think that's actually there. Not just like, I don't think you're reading into it. I think it's clearly there if you know about the last exchange that they had. And I just did not think about that because, I mean, many episodes have happened in between. So, I mean, that's just how it is. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. And just the last line. I could go on, but don't want to chew up too much time. So looking forward to the next episode. So.
Well, with that being said, let's not delay that any further. Let's go ahead and jump into this one in 3, 2, 1, and go. Previously on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. Now, remember, I'm still not sure if we knew when this episode was airing exactly how much time we had left with this arc. I'm not even sure we realized that there were going to be three separate arcs just yet.
No.
So for all we knew, there was a lot more to go. Although I do feel in some instances you can feel it start to kind of wrap itself up. Anyway. Back in the day. Mm-hmm. Listen. We don't want to actually give us a year because that's just way too much work, which I think is best because no, we're not there yet, but up until this point, everything with the MCU had been pretty, like, consistent about its timeline, and then Sony came in with Homecoming and killed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the whole 8 years later thing that just, like, destroyed people's minds?
Yeah, you're like wait a minute.
8 years later? That's not true.
Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing happened, was in Avengers? There's some timeline off? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's been more inconsistencies thereafter, so at this point, why even try? But anyway, it's interesting seeing this group of people, not ghostly.
Mm.
Getting some much-needed context here about what's going on. It's a lot there I could touch on now, but we'll just wait.
Yeah.
And here we are in the exact same room, although I'm not sure you could be able to tell. S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, should be commended for being able to redress the same set and almost being able to get away with making you think it's a different room. Almost. Sometimes you can tell, very obvious, it's the same set, but they do enough to just, like, you're not thinking much about it. At least I'm not, until someone points it out for me.
about that.
See, at this point, I understand Mace want to cover his own ass, but at this point, Simmons already knows him.
Yeah.
And knows what he's hiding. I think, personally, I think he has the wrong approach here. Simmons is mature enough to understand the delicacies of, like, what's going on here. Maybe he doesn't want to reveal that he's being blackmailed as the director. That might be what it is. But at this point, I see no reason for Jeffrey to just not tell her what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember. I want to, like, watch the moments with him and Coulson because I can't remember how they interact with each other. But
see, this is messed up, though. Mm-hmm. The way that he handled this, like, he's getting his coffee. I have my own mission, but this is for you. Like, what the fuck? That was like, come on. That's messed up.
Yeah, but, like, what they're both doing, then Coulson handles it and all that. It's like, it's all so wrong. And I'm mostly annoyed with Coulson because it's like, dude, you were a director. You know how difficult juggling everything is. Like, give him some slack, communicate with him, and just, and for also the current, what's his name? The current guy in charge?
Jeffrey.
Like, he should have also been like, all right, you were in charge. You know what you're doing when it comes to the field and all that. But, like, they both should have really butted heads going, like, communication.
I agree. It is a matter of miscommunication. And both, I think, are culpable for it getting as far as it is. I do want to defend Coulson a little bit here because, well, let me criticize him first.
Well,
I do think... I don't think he should have gave up the job in the first place. It's for his fault. He should have had a hand in picking who his successor was going to be. Mm-hmm. Not just trust that Talbot was going to pick the right person, you know? That was the first mistake in a long run of mistakes. Then the other thing is this. He should have seen it coming that Jeffrey was going to dismiss or undermine him. And look, a couple of things. First, Mace took them off the Daisy hunt because basically he was not believing that Daisy could get away so many times and basically all but accusing Mac and Coulson of letting her get away. That's number one. Then the other thing is, Jeffrey, now it ended up being that he was correct in doing so, but the way, again, that Jeffrey handled in how he prevented Coulson from even knowing where May was, with what she was even being treated with, when she perhaps could have been at death's door. Like, that already... Oh, hi, Davis.
Yeah.
That already was enough for Coulson to be like, okay, you know what? I can't trust this guy to, like, not stop me from doing what I need to do. And no offense to Jeffrey, but Coulson knows what he's doing. I'm not going to disagree with him when it comes to a mission like this. And in the end, he is correct that Jeffrey really has no business being involved. Well, maybe not involved, but not being in charge of a mission like this. He's a skilled politician and that's where his use is at. But, like, ultimately, I understand why Coulson would not tell Mace any of this because Mace would have just shut it down. That being said, could there have been ways to have improved, like, to have massaged it? Yes, I just don't think the time was there either. Time's not on his side with all of this happening at the exact same time. It's not just Daisy. It's the ghostwriter thing.
In this moment... By the way,
why? Really?
Yeah.
I love that little thing right there.
Like, in this moment, it's like, yes, there is zero time to explain anything. Things are moving super, super quick. And so he needs to go. It's just for both of them, they should have understood, like, hey, Coulson is the former oh my gosh, I can't remember the fucking word. He was formerly in charge. He was chosen by Nick Fury. Like, he knows what he's doing to protect the world and all that. So it's like, he should have gone in this situation going, whatever decisions you make, I trust you that it's the best decision in your current situation. But you need to tell me these things, because now he got screwed over because of this and all that. And so he can't clean it up. See right here, like, I gave my life for it, literally. Like, there's no denying what Coulson is doing is good. In this situation...
Can I just ask, though? I don't think you're wrong. But if you remember, this kind of gives Coulson season one vibes, when he had the bus and he was just doing... he was doing his own thing, you know, ignoring, you know, decisions left and right. So it's not like it's a stretch for Coulson to disobey a direct order or to, like, skirt things under the rug. We've seen a whole season one where he did those things. And to be fair, we've also seen him say to a Lance Hunter at the beginning of season two that I need you to be you because I can't be me anymore as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. I need soldiers in the field who will do the wrong thing for the right reasons and disobey an order when they know it's not the best in that instance. So just to remember that little bit of information there about Coulson too, is that he, it's an awkward thing because he's been both an agent and a director. And you're going to get caught up in moments where it's like, yeah, that seems a bit hypocritical, but
yeah,
I mean, it's,
I think it's
fascinating, David. I'm not sure if this is 100% right or wrong in this situation.
No, yeah, that's the thing though. How you see it. I'm not saying this is like a complaint about the show and all that. Like, it's annoying, but
no,
because the show does a great job as to, getting everyone in this situation and all that. Like right here, we haven't been talking much about Robbie and his brother and all that. But like, I really love this moment where, from what he's telling him the truth and all that, there's that scene going on. But like I said, everything is moving super, super fast. I understand why they can't communicate like instantly or anything like that. Mace is in a tough spot because he does want to be supportive of Coulson and like decisions that he makes, but Coulson could be a little bit more leaning towards him, helping him out whenever he needs it and all that. But this is a good show. That's all I could say. Like, it does a great job at putting them in the situation, even though it's difficult. You just kind of wish that they all made the right decision in the right moments, because
I will say, who knows? We know in hindsight all the answers, but it doesn't look good for Mace that he's not being forthright with anyone about protecting S.H.I.E.L.D. from blackmail. He probably should say that.
He
to
should
Coulson
have.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't look good that he literally put Simmons. He put a bag over Simmons' head and whisked her away off to like some CIA goons. That's not great. So, yeah. And yet, they're somehow able to make a scene like this work inside all everything else that's already going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how like May and Fitz are getting. Is May back on the Zephyr, or is she en route? She was somewhere else, right? She was at the lab.
Yeah.
She's not okay. I thought they were having like a FaceTime call when she's like, she's upstairs. Like, what's going on?
Mm.
Okay, so she's just on her way back to the
I think so.
To the main base.
See, that's the other thing too. Like, I understand Mace is making some certain decisions that's like annoying them and all that, but to just outright hate him like that, I'm like, dude, give him like some space, give him some time tell him, like, hey, this is how it worked with Coulson. I know you want to do it differently, but, like...
But he's not interested, David. That's the problem. And he's already shown he's not interested in their opinion. He's, in fact, shown very aggressively, whatever you had, I broke up the band.
Mm-hmm.
I split all of you up. And to be... And look, it, I don't think it really is a personal thing with for Fitz. I think... I don't think Fitz dislikes Jeffrey personally. I think right now he's upset with Mace because he's kind of the reason he's having a little bit of relationship issues with Simmons right now, because Simmons is under a lot of pressure to not lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he blames Mace for him not being able to tell Gemma about the whole Ada thing.
Okay.
And that hit deep. That's what it is ultimately.
Yeah.
That's what's driving the animosity. I mean, is Fitz, accurate to feel that way? I think in part, yes, but also he's trying to, you know, he's a guy. He's mm-hmm. not going to find fault in himself yet. So he's going to look for other people to blame. So, although that is, again, what you're saying, I think also has merit mm-hmm. because we really haven't seen them interact. I think it's more so like if you know the situation, or that's just kind of like where I feel it's like Fitz, and you saw Fitz in the early episodes repeatedly, like just like, hey, we can't hang out. I can't tell Simmons this. And then it's going to get worse in the next episode when he finds out that Simmons is missing and Mace has no idea where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's about as bad as you can get. I mean, as far as like an accident is concerned. Mm-hmm. He's lucky to even be alive.
Oh, yeah.
Robbie
did die, I think.
Yeah, he died, like, pretty horrifically, too. I don't, like... Also, shouldn't Fitz have access to files like that? Like, why is that restricted?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would do it. Yeah. I mean, that's like, you're dead. Also, I can't talk over this. I'm so...
It's a cool scene. So. Like, not just because the original Ghost Rider comes out. It's just like, it's a really interesting moment. I mean, Robbie's really acting it out. Yeah. Not Robbie. The actor.
Yeah. He's like, this is your problem now. Mm-hmm. Bye.
I still wish we would have gotten like anything more from the Ghost Rider, whether it was him or was it Johnny Blaze and all that. Just because I really did like that first movie that came out with Nick Cage.
I never watched the movies. You actually.
Never? That's, really? The no, first one's pretty those. Good. And I remember watching it.
I don't doubt it. I just, those movies came out at a time where I wasn't watching superhero movies then. Mm-hmm. It was like before my time. So, but yeah.
You should definitely watch
Nick Cage.
Oh yeah, you should definitely watch the first one. Second one, I saw it, but never really got my attention. It was just the first one that really blew my mind, and I just like the idea of like the fucking motorcycle turning into like this badass skeletal thing. And
yeah, that's true. He didn't say that.
That's the thing, though.
They were out of the play.
No, but also too, it's like, how would he not know this? Like, you seriously think he doesn't know like the ins and outs of your own fucking plane?
See, this also, it's just shuts this down. But
I mean, he has a good reason to. Like, he's in a tough situation. He literally just lied to him. Colson could have just told him in this moment. It's like, yes, they're here, but like, we have a pressing situation going on here. Like, lives are at stake here.
And I love, though, how S.H.I.E.L.D. not afraid to allow a character like this to break its own rules. Mm-hmm. As they just said, no one's busted out just yet. I believe it held Hive or some other people in here. Yeah. Like, there was no way that this could... And, well...
See, in this moment right here, like... Coulson should have been like, okay, this is what's been happening. That dude made a deal with the devil. He's gonna get out, and we need his help to stop these ghosts that are probably gonna fuck up a lot of people. And then that's when he could have been like, okay, fine.
By the way, god damn, they did amazing work on that skull. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. We got a son's getting real low moment here. God, I brought him back. Is that a, I think that's like Agent Carter season 2 reference? Is the Dark Force, that was season 2, right? Not 1?
There is some Dark Force going on thing, yes. So I think yes. So
what? An oil company having safety violations? Whoever would have thought that would be possible?
Also, too, he wants to, yeah, but also, too, like, he wants to save his uncle. It's like, that's all he wants to do.
To be fair, I can't really fault Mace, like you say. And I do think he really didn't, I don't think, want to be, like, rude in that moment when he swiped the tablet away from Fitz, but he was in the middle of like asserting his dominance.
Yeah.
And what does Fitz do? He goes to Coulson, not to Mace, in the moment that Mace is mm-hmm. trying to like lay the law down that he's the one in charge, not Coulson. Meanwhile, they're on an airplane where the whole team is answering to Coulson, not mm-hmm. to Mace.
Did or not, I kind of had like a similar situation when I was working at a grocery store. There was a guy was like new, like, assistant manager, I guess you can say, but like he's technically, you know, on paper he's the one in charge during that night whenever the other manager isn't there and all that. But I would look to the other guys there who were like there before him and be like, hey, do you want to do this and all that? And he was like legitimately like hurt by it, like he told me on later on. But like, to be fair, the guy didn't know what he was doing. I literally tell him stuff like, oh, this is how we do it. I don't know if you want to do it. It's okay if you want to do it differently. Like, I'll listen to you. That's the thing. That's the thing I kept communicating with him. It's like, I will listen to you, but this is how we usually do it. If you want to do it that way, it's a bit more helpful. But it was weird at moments.
I think sometimes it is just human nature, right? It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you really want something, who do you go to, your mom or your dad? Mm-hmm. You go to the one who is on your side more often, you know, and is more easily persuadable. Yeah. So
What a great way to just put in seeds of like tricking us and all that. Because he for sure hasn't read the book in that moment. So for him to like keep fighting, like, this seems like way out of nature, guys. What the hell? Okay, so yeah, May is like pretty judgy about his actions and all that, so.
You can tell right there, this day, I think they were shooting on a day and maybe Clark Gregg had a slight cold. His voice is a little hoarse in this scene. Just something that I noticed right there. But nice how they put Daisy back on hacking duty.
Yeah.
Only for it to like not work immediately. But hey, she's involved somehow. Oh, I guess that's why they put her there. Because she is...
Her arms are fucked up.
So. Yeah. Judas? Which one is like? I don't know angel lore that well. I mean, I should.
Well, there's an angel, Gabriel, but there's also Michael and Lucifer, who are like basically the main brothers.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's a pretty good backup.
Yeah.
Only problem is the comms are down. See, the thing is, like, was this always the plan in that, like, that scene that we saw with the book and everything earlier with Lucy in the past? Was he really acting out of, like, this is unnatural? Or was that just a cover?
No, I think at that moment he hasn't seen the book. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, see? He hadn't seen it yet.
So if he hasn't seen the book, he already trapped the other scientists in the boxes, though. So if he hasn't seen the book, then he's not corrupted. He already was not a good guy, right? Is that what I'm getting? Because look, he's doing all this shit and he hasn't even laid his eyes on the book. Am I correct? You see?
Okay, so I'm not really sure when he read the book, but he for sure read it before, at least what he did with Lucy Bauer.
So you're saying he took a look at it maybe somehow?
Yeah.
Which then caused him to just basically change.
Mm-hmm. So who knows when exactly it happened, whether that scene where he was just like, oh, this is unnatural. Yeah, this part's cool. I just also love what happens in the next episode because of this.
Don't even get me started on that next episode.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a hell of a cliffhanger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oof.
Let's go over to Ami.
You can't. And no post-shield thing. Are you fucking kidding me with this shit? What in the world? How the fuck? Damn, like, I did get, like, slight vibes that maybe he was a little more involved than we thought, but not, like, the guy behind it all. I thought he was going to get coerced maybe, or maybe they were a secret partnership or something like that, but no. It was him all along. The mastermind behind everything, because he fell to its spell. He was like, his curiosity, his fear of it led him straight to it. But then once he got his hands on it, unless that was all an act too, he just wanted to get it away from him so that he could have it. Where are all of these means to perform the impossible coming from? Like, everything that was breaking the laws of what he knows as an engineer. Maybe that's what it was. And everything else was just a veiled attempt to, like, convince people we need to get it away from Joseph just so he could have it. Because initially I was thinking that, you know, once he got it away, maybe he successfully did get it away from him and then he just fell to its corruption. But it was more than that. Wow. Damn. I love the parallels, though, between Gabe and Robbie, though, with her talking about angels and devils. It was like, oh, Gabriel, the angel, you're that son. She mistook him. It's like, no, I'm the other one, the devil, the bad kid. And yeah, it wasn't to take out the kids. That's why I thought like it was like a personal attack. I completely forgot that was his uncle's car. So they just saw the car, didn't know the kids were inside. They were hoping to kill their uncle, but it ended up being an attack against them. And we saw Johnny. Johnny showed up and passed on the rider to him so that he could live and carry on that burden. It gave him a second chance at life, but also cursed him much in the way that he was. I didn't think we would see him. I thought it was only going to be implied that it was the original Ghost Rider. You know, we saw the motorcycle, we saw the leather, and I thought that was all we were going to see. But we got to actually see him before passing it on. That was fucking wicked, man. We got his whole backstory dumped out here. Everything is on the table. Everything except for what Simmons is now up to and what the director is orchestrating him doing on behalf of this senator. Because he got himself caught in somebody's little sticky trap. And as much as he's talking about trust and all these things, now he's also the one being forced to. And I think in any other circumstance, if he wasn't being forced into this position, you know, I do think he would uphold his values. But obviously they keep breaking that trust. They keep not going to him, but now he's also in a position where he has to be morally flexible to play this political game. But more than the value of the trust of his agents is the success of this mission, their attempt to integrate Inhumans into society and to, you know, fight that fight. You know, so much hinges on S.H.I.E.L.D. being perceived in the right way, which also in turn leads to Inhumans being perceived in the right way. Because that's what they're fighting for, and it's above them, at least. So I get where he's coming from, but it just, like, there's always compromises. But it's never that clean, especially when you get into a situation like this, especially with somebody as underhanded as the senator seems to be, who also has a complete disdain for your people. You know, I don't know, man. It's just a mess. And I like that Daisy was trying so hard to kind of give cover for Robbie before he was finally done with it and laid it out on the table. And like, Gabriel reacted in a very reasonable and understandable way, man. Like, he's fine with how he is. He's fine with all of it. It was outside of their control. It's not on either of them for it. And as much as Robbie is putting it on his shoulders for bringing him out there, that's not the point, you know? And then he's like, now to save you, I had to kill all these people, blah, 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 that. And he's just like, no, that's you. Don't put those deaths on me. I'm fine where I'm at. You're not doing this for me. Like, oh my God, it was just heartbreaking seeing that revelation. And then him being faced with it, you know, being pushed as his uncle is being threatened. And then he's contained and caught. You know, they tried their best to keep the director and his goons from finding them, but he's just a little too smart for them at this point. You know, he's on equal ground when it comes to the game that they're playing. The fact that he noticed that that was gone. It was a good play. It was a good play. And they did all these things to not lie. He was like, no, wild goose chase? What are you talking about? There are no geese. Like, all the wordplay to so that Coulson had the fallback of being like, I never lied. You know, it was great. But then they had to, you know, hash it out once he realized the containment unit was displaced and outside the plane, and there was no more wordplay that was going to hide that. And Robbie, being Robbie, busted his way out. You know, this containment unit that was designed to hold back the Hulk, it was not designed for the supernatural, this entity, this being from hell. Oh, I love that, because it should be impossible, but as they are learning, the world is much more complex than they understand. And that's what this is having. It's like, these things should be impossible. Creating matter from nothing, the spells of the Darkhold, they're keeping this place powered despite them knowingly trying to power down this facility. Like, there's all these things that are bending the rules of the known world, and that's because they are coming from the unknown. I love it. They're doing a really good job at playing with that that line and blurring things and testing our team, especially Coulson, who is an kind of very agnostic atheist even. And, you know, he was like, I'm kind of starting to believe maybe he's being honest about what he's saying. And even Fitz kind of was like, that shouldn't have been possible. He can fight the ghosts. He can do all these things. It's just fun seeing things cascade out of control. All of this, too. He did finally take out Lucy just to find out that his uncle is the real villain at the end of the day. And then when he finally popped off this machine, got the power that he's been chasing this entire time, that shockwave from the machine activating blinked out everybody else that was in the facility. Robbie was gone. Mac and Fitz was gone. Coulson was gone. Are they ghosts now too? Or what? We've not seen that that's...
All right. So let me go ahead and look over to some of the reactions. They're happening in real time. Okay. I love you, Marvel, for giving us Johnny Blaze. You see what I mean? I mean, it doesn't even take much, does it?
Mm.
It was me, Robbie. It was me all along. Jokes aside, this is a really good episode. It felt like a mid-season finale. Good references to Agent Carter as well. Also, Coulson and Fitz partnership once again. Yay. Gabriel, like the angel. No, I'm the other one. That's a great line. Let's see here. Absolutely astounded on Johnny Blaze showed up. Mm-hmm. A lot of Johnny Blaze love. I mean, obviously.
Heck yeah.
Here's one. The fact that this show doesn't get more praise is astounding. That was a fantastic episode. I'm starting to see people say they weren't really interested, but Ghost Rider is pulling them in for good reason too. Ghost Rider is easily coolest. No, he's the hottest. Okay, we see what you're trying to do there.
Mm.
All right, let's wait. What? What is that I just saw? All right. So with that, let me go ahead and look at what some others were saying. Max, I'm sorry, excuse me, I misspoke. Mark Buxton of Den of Geek gave the episode 4 out of 5 stars, praising the reveal that the dull threat of Lucy Bauer was just masking the true villain, Morrow. If you've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know they do this quite frequently. This shouldn't have been a surprise. I'm just going to say that right now. Okay. Buxton also noted the Ghost Rider origin story, which he said goes to some pretty unexpected places. The fight between Ghost Rider and the Inhuman Mace, which he felt showed the series was not just a one-trick pony or one-trick pony show about Inhumans or the war with Hydra. It's a tour of many different pieces of the MCU. And the connections to Agent Carter, which he said were cool to see and make her defunct series more important to the tapestry of the MCU. Evan Valentine at Collider scored the episode also 4 out of 5, indicating a very good episode that has left me more excited for the future of this season than the show ever has. The Good Samaritan managed to blend in nearly all the crazy aspects of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and produce a quality episode that stands shoulder to shoulder with their best. Writing for Nerdist, Joseph McCabe called the origin story satisfyingly tragic transformation and by far the most interesting part of wishing that it had been shown unbroken by present day scenes or even the sole focus of the episode, but felt that at least the ongoing storyline has momentum. McCabe also lamented the death of Lucy Bauer just when she was starting to become interesting. IGN's Terry Schwartz scored the episode 8.8 out of 10, indicating a great episode and praised the fantastic origin story sequence, saying it had a slow burn as Robbie and Gabe talked through the ill-fated car ride, but the payoff was worth it. She also noted that the Ghost Rider and Mace fight and the Agent Carter reference were great and everything. Scott Meslow for Vulture scored it also 4 out of 5, saying it makes the season's stakes clear by being an origin story for both Ghost Rider and Morrow, and praising the series for focusing on those elements rather than trying to closely tie in with Doctor Strange as it did with previous seasons. Meslow also said that Gabe Reyes was a welcome addition, successfully recognizing and calling out anything that seems like bullshit. Kevin Fitzpatrick at Screen Crush said the episode was easily the best of the season so far, though he was still on the fence as to whether Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has the clearest sense of where season 4 is going. Let me go back a little bit on that one. Let's chew on that. I would say for the most part, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, David, but I think every single one of the six episodes that we've seen so far is pretty much great.
Yeah,
pretty like much. Every one of them. I still would say, personally, my favorite of the season so far is Uprising. Like, that to me is like, I don't think you top that one just quite yet. That's the third episode, the blackout episode.
Okay, yeah, for sure, I agree. that one's the best one. Like I mentioned before, it was the teamwork of it. Yo-Yo, great addition.
Yo-Yo, have we not seen Yo-Yo since that episode?
No, we haven't.
I'm beginning to feel her absence a little bit. Yeah, like, we gotta get Yo-Yo back in here. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see her the next episode. Well, actually, not even then. Well, I'm not even sure when, but yeah. we gotta get her back. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But then this line here, a welcome, let's see what he says. He's still on the fence as to whether S.H.I.E.L.D. has the clearest sense of where season four is going. That did not age well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what more needs to be said, but that did not age well. Regarding Johnny Blaze, Schwartz said that Marvel TV is introducing the idea of multiple ghostwriters into its mythology, which sets the stage for Robbie Reyes not being the only one possessed by the spirit of vengeance in this world. That's more than we could have hoped for on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s take on the Marvel superhero. She speculated that a spinoff featuring Blaze and or Reyes was now a realistic possibility. It was. It almost was, and it didn't end up being that way because you all wanted Kevin Feige to control everything. Anyway, let me end with AV Club. Here's Alex McLevy. Sometimes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does the exact opposite of the old show, don't tell rule of visual storytelling. Instead, it weirdly goes for the strategy of tell, then show for some good measure, just in case. In the flashbacks that make up a decent portion of the Good Samaritan, a character in the present day, usually Eli, will say what transpired way back then, or way back when, and then the show will cut to it and depict what it just explained. It's an odd way to reveal backstory, and the only reason I can't imagine for the tactic is because the writer assumed that building to a twist would be a fun way to throw history out of whack and disturb the audience's assumption that they knew what was coming. It doesn't quite land, but luckily this installment builds to an exciting climax and leaves us hanging with the supposed bombshell that Eli was a villain all along. Anyone who noticed his worrisome look at the Darkhold last week probably saw this coming, but enough legwork goes into trying to convince us otherwise until the last minutes that it still works as a cliffhanger. It's like the old saying, if you put a too humble, imprisoned, PhD-holding family member on the shelf in the first act, you better turn him evil by the end of episode 6. This week's events start on a clumsy note, but thankfully, Ghost Rider is still here to liven up the wobbly build-up. Robbie's backstory was revealed tonight, and yeah, it's basically exactly what you assumed it would be. He was on his way to a race, convinced Gabe to come along, and when the goons hired by Joe, it turns out to keep Eli silenced, shoot them up, Robbie sees his final moments to plead for to whoever will help in a last-ditch effort to save Gabe. Hence, the arrival of the previous Ghost Rider, who pulls Robbie's sibling out of the car and then passes on the vengeful curse. Despite the predictable nature of the tale, it's delivered with a depth touch. Robbie's slow-motion spin as he flies out of the car, creating a tense moment in spite of the knowledge it can't end well. Even Daisy is caught up in it. Don't stop there, she urges, wanting to know just what happened. Once the story is done and Director Mace raises the doors on the aircraft to expose the containment pod and let Coulson know the jig is up, things finally get rolling. Watching Ghost Rider bust out of the pod was good, but watching him beat up Mace was better. And then having Gabe pull back from the brink, of murder lent an overarching pathos to the entire sequence. Not the most effective pathos, mind you. One of the downsides of having a fast-paced action series is that it's tough to hit weighty emotional beats as the sparks fly, but pathos nonetheless. And it wasn't a very long conversation, but the debate between Coulson and Mace about what to do with Robbie captured the entire conflict of Coulson's old guard versus Mace's new tactics in a super-powered nutshell. Robbie isn't exactly a terrorist, that's a little too Fox News of a designation for Coulson, but they agree he needs to answer for what he's doing once he takes out Lucy. Unfortunately, none of them quite understand the nature of Ghost Rider. There's no benching the spirit of vengeance. The first half of this episode stumbled in trying to make large amounts of exposition and backstory compelling by tying it to Mace's search for Daisy and Robbie. It's a rare case of S.H.I.E.L.D. not spending enough time on something tense and nervy, and instead of just having the search for the outlaws take place mostly in the background of scenes. Thankfully, once Operation Shut It Down went into effect, everything improved by a factor of badass. Lucy confronts Robbie, and the inevitable truth of Eli's duplicity is revealed just in time for Robbie to bust out the late ghost, the last ghost, leaving only newly minted Uncle Nemesis as the surviving member of the Momentum Labs team. We get a brief glimpse of Eli's power in action, creating a matter or matter in his bare hand, but the real struggle is just being set up. May got away with the book, and it's seems obvious Eli doesn't want that text in anyone's hands but his own. It will be interesting to see if the plot of Doctor Strange has any effect. It doesn't.
No.
We're not going to even bother with that.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of anything on our other teammates this week, which is unfortunate. Gemma is unceremoniously shipped off in on a favor to the U.S. government. She had like one scene. This would be the easiest for Elizabeth Hensage to shoot this week. An hour-long version of temporary fridging, if there ever was one, given how annoyed Fitz is by it. And while Fitz, Mac, and May have a couple of lines, this week is largely the Ghost Rider show, punctuated by the occasional scene with Coulson. We learn Fitz doesn't trust Mace. Shocking, I know. And Daisy is willing to spin a large web of bullshit to keep Gabe in the dark about his brother. But these are ultimately pointless stances. Mace is the director, whether Fitz likes it or not, and Gabe isn't a moron. The events of this episode will have reverberations beyond Eli's new play for power, and everyone walking away unscathed doesn't seem likely. Okay, stray observations. Coulson saying, I have zero geese. We are geese-free. The talks between Coulson and Mace are nearly always good, charged as they are with the tension of the former director being ordered around by the new one. It's a solid dynamic, even if it has yet to attain the heights of the Coulson-Talbot comedy hour. Mac noting that evil objects nearly always have stupidly evil titles when he says, who names these things? If nothing else, the Good Samaritan taught us that keeping Ghost Rider locked up in a containment unit for 3/4 of an episode is never a good idea. Looks like we got a few weeks before the next installment. Feel free to continue. Yeah, so this is a weird one. I don't know what ABC had going on, but the last thing we'll touch on here before we go today is I think they took 4 weeks off after this episode. Let me just be clear. So this is the next episode. So the one that we watched just now aired November 1st. The next episode aired November 29th. That's basically a month.
Yeah.
Don't know. Well, I don't recall what was happening. I'm sure someone in the comments might. I will say though, in a way, I'm kind of glad it took that month off because let's just say November 2016, apart from the amazing S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, I wasn't doing very well mentally. I'm not sure other people were as well, so. I really wasn't in the mood for watching S.H.I.E.L.D. for a few weeks. So in a weird way, I kind of appreciated the break, although I do remember it being really frustrating because, hey, this is the year that I was really paying attention with the fine tooth comb, all, you know, the ratings share, the demo numbers, DVR numbers. And it was, oh my God, infuriating how it's like, this could literally be the last season and ABC is still pulling shenanigans at the schedule. It's like, can we not have the episodes? Now, to be fair though, maybe they probably aired a week later than they wanted to, but now that I'm just remembering, I do believe part of the reason, or maybe not the whole reason, why this fourth season is split into three pods, it's because ABC told them, like, hey, we've got some major events happening and we're going to really fuck with your schedule. So I think that's why they did the pods. Unfortunately, it didn't work out timing wise for them. So because it is an awkward place to just like take a huge break after this episode, there are two episodes left. I think what they probably were wanting was after the Ghost Rider finale, then we could have had the break. That would have made the most sense for that to happen. But again, in retrospect, does it matter? No. I mean, the show survived for a few more seasons. But at the time, you have to understand, it's like, this show is like hanging on by a thread. It's got the world up against it. Even the Marvel fans aren't like defending it as much. Mm-hmm. We need everything right going for it. And here you are. It's just like, you know, we're not finished with the storyline, but let's just go ahead and take a month off. Yeah. It was an amazing time to be a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But also, it was a very, very anxiety I can't even finish. It was just a lot of anxiety over like whether or not this show was going to have a future because of things like this. So, but thankfully, I will say things turned out really the best case scenario for this show. Honestly, the fact that ratings wise alone, they were able to make it to five seasons was truly nothing short of a miracle. The idea that they made it to seven seasons, that was an act of God. I don't even know what you say, because that's not something anybody had in the cards. But I'm glad that this show lasted for as many episodes as they were willing to go for. And us doing this show is always, you know, keeping the love alive, keeping the hope alive that something may manifest in the future. Although if that does happen, that comes with its own baggage. I don't want Kevin Feige touching this thing with a 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't want him coming anywhere near this. But then again, something tells me he would agree with me. I'm not sure he ever wants to get anywhere near this as well, because maybe he knows deep down this is better than anything he will ever do. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the best way to end tonight. Thank you so much for watching. And again, as always, please leave whatever feelings, thoughts you like for us down below. Have a good week, and we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.